this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some? I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at you, boy. You try to vote, God, fall back, I go hard. On this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some?
Welcome to the Justified Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Justified on FX. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And tonight we're going to be covering Season 3, Episode 1, entitled The Gunfighter. I think we all know who the gunfighter is in this, eh?
Open for debate in this episode.
Oh, you think so? All right. I assumed it was the villain.
Okay.
The gunfighter.
I thought you were going to go with Raylan.
It could also be Detroit. He was a bit of a gunfighter.
The carpetbagger?
Sure.
That's what they're calling him, I guess, in the credits. And
oh, the carpetbagger?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Detroit. It's easier to say. Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Like, so how do we know he's from Detroit? Because
he says it.
Does he? Because I thought they were talking about Chicago money.
No. He says the guy's in Detroit.
Okay,
because
Madbrew, who helps me out on the Game of Thrones cast, mm-hmm. we were talking about today, because he's a big Justified buff, and he thought that it was all from Chicago. And I'm like, what? I didn't get that.
Unless the guy is from Chicago and the people in Detroit are directing him, then that's not the case.
Well, I like that. The idea that we've got, basically, this show's thing is it mixes up like pools of villains we've never heard of before.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're talking about gangsters in Harlan County, Kentucky. We're talking about gangsters from Detroit. We're staying away from
the Chicago's, the New Yorks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess Miami is a little cliche, but they pretty much got away from that pretty quick.
Yeah, which I think that's coming back, but
oh yeah, probably.
We'll have to wait a little while for that, I think. So do we have any news starting off this week?
I don't really have much in the way of news.
Okay, the news that I do have is a little bit spoilery, so I'll save it until after the music at the end. Then I guess we can get right into the recap, right?
I do want to give a shout out to the theme song, which is the same as the Justified's theme song.
Yeah.
It's a Long Hard Times to Come by Gangstagrass.
Gangstagrass.
Featuring Tone Z. And I'm going to link to their album on our show notes. So if you want to show your support for them, you think that their music's pretty cool, which I think it's got... I didn't know what to think of it the first few times I listened to it, but now I'm like, it really gets me kind of pumped up.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I've heard country rap,
right?
I guess.
Well, Bubba Sparks.
I don't know that I've heard him.
Really?
Him or them or whatever they are, yeah.
Oh, you've heard the I Found You Miss New Booty, surely.
I don't think so, man. it doesn't ring any bells, and I would think that would if I had heard it.
All right, so I wanted to get that out of the way.
Cool.
And, we usually do this stuff at the outro. I'm going to do it in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
Start up a new cast. All of our fans from our other shows. One thing that really, really helps is if you get on iTunes and give us the reviews, subscribe, that helps us build up the listeners. We're kind of nervous about this show because we're not sure how big of a podcast audience it has. There's really not very many people doing podcasts on it. So if you like it, please show your support and help us get the word out.
And you really need to show your support because this is the one that we're doing for the fans. We had so many requests from you guys saying, hey, do Justified. And we hadn't even seen the show when you guys were requesting it. So we're like, I don't know. But then we watched the show.
And of course,
it's awesome.
It is really good. Like, I really want to put it up there with the other shows we're podcasting.
It's going to go a little below even Walking Dead for me, but just slightly.
No, I suppose.
Because of the procedural season one. Season one was so procedural to me.
Well,
like, it felt very procedural. Season two, phenomenal. Way better.
I think that the first six episodes of season one are procedural, pretty much. Then for there on out, it's been better than Walking Dead, and
I'm a zombie fanboy.
The other thing is at the end of season, if they keep this up through the end of season three and wrap it up like they did season two, I'm going to put it up there with the other stuff we're covering, like Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Game of Thrones, on the top echelons.
Well, remember when we were watching season two? In our little mini marathon, I guess.
We did six episodes of Justified
yesterday.
Because when we did the intro cast, we had just finished episode five.
Yeah.
So in the last about week, we've watched a season half of TV culminating in an epic. We had five more episodes to watch starting at 5 o'clock, and the premiere season three started at 10.
Yeah.
So we're like pedal to the metal, baby.
Definitely. But remember in season two, like halfway through it, we were like, oh man, I don't know about this season. And then they had one good episode and they were like, okay, if they can keep this up through the end of the season, then it's got a chance. Like, season two is good. It's going to redeem itself. Yeah. And it did, of course. It just got amazing towards the end of season two.
Right.
It wasn't totally solid all the way through season two either.
I kind of want to, because we're going to get into some pre-recap thoughts. It's not really intro stuff, but just kind of, I want to throw this out at you. I was just thinking about this at work. Mm-hmm. This show, you could come in on season three, not seeing the other two seasons, and not be lost. In fact, if you're one of our fans,
pretty much, yeah,
I would like to encourage you to do so, because the way this show has worked so far is they really wrap up all the neat ends from season to season. So the only constant is the main characters. And you might at first be lost about, well, is this this dude's dad and is this this dude's friend and all that. But you were kind of that way in the first season one, episode one.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that you will really quickly be able to get into this and enjoy it for what it is. A fantastic show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really good. I don't want to like say it's bad by any means. Yeah. But okay, let's get into the recap.
No,
more stuff.
I want to talk about some things because I just felt deprived that we didn't get the podcast the first two seasons. So I just want to do a couple like makeup bullet point things.
Okay, bring it.
What do you make? What do we make? Because I want to weigh into of Art's relationship. He's the Is he the director of the marshal's office?
Or he's the boss. I'll just call him the boss.
I don't know what his official position is. What do we make of his relationship with Raylan?
Now, like as of season three, episode one.
Because
it's taken some stages. Like at first, he's kind of.
Are we sure that he knows about
the money
that some hanky panky went on with the $200,000 in the evidence room?
I'm relatively certain. Okay. Yeah.
Do you know if he? How much of you think he thinks that this is Raylan's idea?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think does he have any inkling about, you know, the thing that this is actually him trying to help out his ex? Or, I mean, to what depth do you think that he views this as villainy?
That's a good question. They haven't really let on too much about how much he knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've strongly hinted that he does know something was up there.
Right.
He definitely knows that it involves that money, though, because that was the episode where he becomes suspicious and he sees Raylan down in the locker, the evidence room with Winona.
Uh-huh.
Or Winona, I don't know how you say that.
Uh-huh.
That's the same episode where he starts, like, you know, acting suspicious, and it's the same episode with the money.
Right.
So he knows something's going on with that money, but I don't think he knows anything about whether, like, whose fault it was.
Well, when they had the one conversation, like, when he's like, oh, you want to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he, at the end of it, he says, we're never going to have this. We're never going to talk about this again. He says, I think you are a lousy marshal, but a pretty good lawman.
Yeah, cool line.
Yeah, but if he knows or suspects he stole $200,000, how can he be a good lawman?
Yeah, I get you there. When does he say that? Does he say that before he finds out or after he finds out?
After. This is like several... like, Raylan can't take this cold shoulder he's been giving him.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's always been a pain in the ass.
He has,
Art just was cold for a few episodes.
Well, see, the way I remembered it was that he had just shot up a whole bunch of people and, like, he wasn't sure about whether or not he had been in the right when he shot them or whatever. And so that's when he was saying, like, you're a terrible marshal, but a great lawman.
Right, but I think that, I thought the conversation was also just more of, like, where are we standing on this thing, you know?
It might have been. But
why do you think Raylan didn't just say, okay, I'm closing the door.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever ask, I'm going to deny I'm saying any of this, but my ex, Winona, lost her mind and stole that money out of the evidence room. We put it back. If you check locker so-and-so, you'll see it's not in the right locker, but it's all there. I fixed it to try to protect her reputation. Are we cool?
I think the problem at that point is that a bunch of people knew it was gone. Like, a bunch of his partner.
Yeah, but they didn't know that it was anything to do with Raylan. Whereas art actually has made the connection.
Yeah, but if it came back, that would look even weirder.
Well, art doesn't have to say anything because all like, well, what whoop-de-doo, evidence goes missing all the time.
Yeah, which was also weird. I don't like that whole idea.
Actually, I buy that completely.
No, I do too, but it's like, man, really? That's going to happen all the time? All
right, moving on. What do we make of Boyd's relationship with Raylan?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's great suspense because you know that Raylan wants him in prison. And at the end of this episode, we see him back in prison, but it's kind of for Boyd's own purposes, which we'll talk about.
Well, get this. So I was reading an interview with Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
It's got to be Goggins,
I think,
right?
It's Goggins, yeah.
He's the guy who plays Boyd, and they were talking to him about how Timothy Oliphant, he plays Raylan as if he despises Boyd. And Walton was like, really? That surprises me because I play Boyd as if he really has deep brotherly love for Raylan.
Yeah,
but they're just on the wrong, they just end up on the wrong side, but he really has genuine affection for this.
That's weird because I feel the mix of emotions from both of them. Like, I don't know why that is, but
he's playing hate and he's playing love in the mix there because their chemistry is amazing.
It's fantastic, those two characters. My thing with Raylan is he obviously doesn't hate him that much because he would have put him in prison for all the shit he's done already.
Yeah, but what evidence does he have?
I mean, he's been an eyewitness to a lot of it, but...
Well...
And he knows his involvement with the drugs.
Eyewitness to what? I mean...
I mean, maybe he doesn't have enough evidence to put him away, so he can't, but I'm not getting the, like, total despising of Boyd. Right. I feel a mix. I feel that love-hate relationship.
I do, too. And I think that... So it's like, I don't know what Raylan feels about Boyd or Boyd feels about Raylan, but I do know that, like Raylan said somewhere in season two, it's like, I don't know if he's good or bad, but on two separate occasions, he's definitely... In my life, he's definitely had my back.
Yeah.
So... And just like, you know, Boyd said to Raylan, I'm counting on you to be the only friend I've got left in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's like they trust at some kind of instinctual level that they'll be there for each other no matter what.
Yeah.
But also,
I think
it's understood that if Raylan fucks up, Boyd would kill him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If Boyd fucks up, Raylan will put him in bracelets or drill him too.
Yeah.
He already has.
Definitely. Yeah, he has.
Okay, one last relationship because is of note. This is pretty much all of them in the show. They're still intact after three seasons. Yeah. What do we make of Raylan's ex-wife, Winona? I can't decide if I like her or not, or if she's good for Raylan. Or if Raylan's good for her.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That relationship is totally up in the air. I see why they're attracted to each other.
Right.
I really do. But at the same time, I feel like she's done him more harm than good. Mm-hmm. Like, she divorced him, and like she was hooking up with that other guy, or her old husband, or her new husband, whatever it was, the real estate agent, who was not a great guy. Mm-hmm. And just kind of a D-bag all around.
But on the other hand, is she a great girl? She stole $200,000 out of an evidence locker, and... Yeah. And
dumb
before
as a box of rocks.
Raylan disappeared, that realtor dude, which I think was his name, wasn't his name Dave?
Or Keith or Kyle or something.
Before he
know.
Disappeared her, she was kind of thinking, am I crazy? But I think she was kind of thinking about taking him back.
Wasn't she planning on getting a divorce?
Yeah, but like he was saying that I'm going to get her back, and then like when... they were all in the same house together.
Yeah, yeah,
she was
that was
talking
weird.
Like, you know, he's not that bad of a guy and all this other stuff. And Raylan's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
But then in the end, she was still going into the guest room or the bedroom, whatever, with Raylan. So
right. Gary is his name. So,
Gary, yeah.
Right, yeah, I understand. I'm just saying that I saw that she was kind of taking baby steps back toward him. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe.
So we're kind of like basically up in the air all three of these relationships, which is a good place to be.
It really is. It creates the most suspense and the most drama. So right. I'm totally cool with being up in the air on those.
One last note before we get into recap, just so for people that aren't aware of how we operate, we do not traffic in spoilers.
Nine.
Until after the podcast is done, we play our intro again for 15-20 seconds,
yep.
And then we talk about spoilers. So you have plenty of time to shut down the audio system of your choice before we get into spoilers. So don't worry that we're going to be just blathering out stuff for next season. But we do consider, like, you better be caught up.
Oh, yeah. Because, if you haven't seen this episode, don't listen to this podcast. Yeah,
because we're about to spoil the shit out of it.
Yeah. All right. Can I please get into this recap, please?
Please do, sir.
Thank you very much. So the show opens up with Wynonna finding out that Raylan's been shot and going to visit him in the hospital. It's a quick short shot of that.
This started immediately after season two.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And Art basically says, yeah, he's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. So
a lucky son of a bitch.
Then we see him 3 weeks later, and he's doing target practice at the gun range. Not so good. Not so good. He can't really shoot very well.
In obvious pain.
Very obvious. And so I want to know what's up with this cross draw that he tries. Like, what's the science? What's the info behind the cross draw? Do you know anything about this? Because I know nothing about guns or whatever.
So, like, if you're not crossed, you got your right hand on your right hip, and you pull up. If you cross,
I know what a cross draw
is.
You go,
okay, well, he's just trying some. I guess he
can't. I'm saying, is it usually slower? Like, does it?
It has to be slower. It'd have to be.
It would? Okay.
Because you have to go all the way across your body and all the way back over instead of just like this.
Yeah.
On the other hand, maybe he was thinking it's more comfortable because, you know, he got shot in that side. I don't know. But
yeah,
he's basically saying, I even tried this like as a last ditch.
Yeah.
He needs to get one of those cool slings like Detroit's got.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Maybe he'll take that from him next episode. That'd be cool. So then Boyd meets up with Raylan to basically demand an apology, and they get in a fight.
Because I want to talk about the scene a bit.
Okay. Well, I was just going to point out that Raylan points out that he's not wearing a suit, which to me says, okay, so he's not working for Black Pike anymore. So this lady is done with him. So she was using him for his connections in Harlan to try to get the.
See, I took it also the people as to agree. You're not legit anymore. You took off the suit.
Like you've gone back to your ways.
You've gone
thieving and you're killing.
You're kind of it was kind of shady shit you were doing in the suit, but the suit's not even on now.
He's not even trying to look respectable.
Right.
Now,
my question is, because by the end of the episode, it seems obvious that he went to prison with the sole purpose to get a shot at Dickie.
Yes.
Do you think Raylan knew this and is kind of cool? Because like the way they cut the scene is Raylan's like, you think as a U.S. Marshal, I'm going to turn over a man to you that's in my custody so you can kill him?
Yeah, he takes offense to that.
But then the next scene we see Boyd throwing him through the glass, like almost like Raylan's basically saying, I'm not going to give him up, but I almost wonder if Raylan knew this was going to happen.
Well, my feeling on it was more that Boyd made it happen. Like, Boyd, because Raylan gets up to walk out of that room, and Boyd stops him and says, I want an apology.
Yeah.
And then goes on his whole tirade and then punches him.
I guess that's a...
So my thing is, I think Boyd made it happen.
Right.
And Raylan didn't really know what was up.
But I think also if Boyd ends up killing Dickie, which seems like there's no way that that's... I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But
unless Dickie can kill Boyd, but I don't see Boyd dying.
Unless that happens, I don't think Raylan's going to shed any tears for the man.
No, certainly not. He slammed him with a baseball bat twice.
Yeah.
I think he'd be okay with him being killed. So then the messenger from Detroit. I'm just going to call this guy Detroit because I don't know his name.
Steppenwall's calling him the carpetbagger.
Yeah, I don't want to call him that.
No?
Shows up to demand money from the head of the Dixie Mafia.
It's got such a rich historical meanings and layers to it.
Does it? Yeah. I don't even know what that term means.
That's like the Northerners that came down post-Civil War and like bought up a bunch of Southern land and industry at dirt cheap prices because they're war-ravaged. They call them carpetbaggers. That's
they call them carpetbaggers?
Because I guess they came in like cheap. They were wearing, like, had cheap luggage. They had, like, literally bags that were made of carpet or whatever. They're opportunist. It's basically a very pejorative Southern term for Northern opportunist. And so I think it's a perfect thing to call this guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. All right, I'll call him Detroit. You call him carpetbagger.
All right.
but he shows up to demand money from the head of the Dixie Mafia, whose name is, I guess, Emmett Arnett. I didn't know that. I had to look it up. What do you think of this guy, this Detroit guy?
So I love him. I think that
he looks like one bad SOB, right?
Right. Neil McDonough, I guess is that's how you pronounce the name. Mm-hmm. He was like my favorite character in Band of Brothers. Mm-hmm. And then I actually watched Boomtown solely because he was in it and really loved Boomtown. It got strangled in the cradle.
Wasn't that also by the creator of the show?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So Daniel Yost, or Graham Yost, rather, was the one that produced both of these. And I just think there's something visually arresting about him.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And in Band of Brothers, plus with that, like, shock white hair.
Yeah.
Like, you usually see Toehead, like, as little kids. He's almost got white, like, platinum blonde hair.
He feels very cold with his white hair and his blue eyes.
But what was weird is, like, he was such a good guy in Band of Brothers.
Huh.
Like a heroic figure and then later a tragic figure. Mm-hmm. And then he would play like this corrupt, compromised cop in Boomtown. Or not, was he a cop or a district attorney? I can't rightly recall. But then he, now he's playing this like this bad guy.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the guy's kind of mesmerizing. And I was very excited to hear that he was going to be one of the many villains jockeying for power down here.
Yeah, it seems like there are a lot of villains in this town.
Well, there's a power vacuum.
I mean, just period. There have been a lot of villains in Harlan.
Right.
A lot of them.
But now that the Bennett clan is out of business permanently,
yeah,
there are a lot of people looking to move in and move up.
Definitely. So I guess we'll move on to the next scene then, unless you have anything else to say about that one.
Well, I just thought it was also interesting that... oh, shoot. What'd you say the guy from the Dixie Mafia's name was?
Emmett Arnett.
Arnett.
Yeah.
Is gotten in the same trap that Gary, Winona's husband, got himself into. He bought this property and borrowed it from the wrong people, just at a larger scale.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot larger, apparently.
And the phone call that he was making, or how he was talking to this guy mirrored exactly how Gary was talking to him and Win Duffy in season one. I just thought that was really good.
Awesome.
You know, callback.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that. So then in the next scene, Rodney Dunham, who is the crazy-looking country guy who buys weed.
Devil. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Not Devil. Devil's the...
Devil's the other crazy-looking country guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in this show, too.
There are. So he comes by Arlo's house to
next
make an offer.
Next on Hoarders, weed edition.
On basically a mountain of weed.
It's a whole house full of trash bags full of weed.
Yeah. Yep. But it's all gone bad, apparently.
Yep.
It's
you
been sitting too
bag
long.
Bag that stuff when it's wet.
Yep.
Just goes to pot.
And I...
that's not right. It goes to mold.
I noticed in this scene that, with a few exceptions, it dawned on me that toughness in the South all comes down to bulk. I think the bulkier you are, the tougher you are. You don't have to necessarily have any skills, because Dunham is a big dude,
right?
And his bodyguard was just big and fat. There was nothing especially impressive about the man,
right?
But it was his bodyguard. So, and then you've got what's his name, Bennett,
right?
Big dumb Bennett.
Coover.
Yeah,
Coover. Goyle.
Awesome. I'm so glad that guy died.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, but yeah, that's it. That guy's big and tough.
Right.
And Ava, it seems, is the exception, because she really seems to be in charge here.
Well, I actually thought she was content to let Devil kind of might run it, but then when she saw how badly it went, she's like, once, like she said, did that go about how you expected? Mm-hmm. I think she was like pretty mad and determined that she's going to have to run this outfit while Boyd's put away.
Yeah, yeah. But everybody seems to listen to her, so...
Right.
At least for now. We'll get to that more later.
Right.
So then Raylan gets, quote, back in action with Winona. Mm-hmm. And they talk about their baby, about what they're going to name it. What was the name? Jiffy Pop. And what was the other one?
I don't know. I didn't write that down. How did I write that down?
Jiffy Pop was the boy's name. I can't remember the girl's name.
Jacob, I don't know.
No, it was Palmolive. That was the girl's name. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So what'd you think about that? Because Winona definitely seems to know Raylan. She's like, 5 minutes on the table when I'm having this kid, and you'll let me name it whatever I want.
Right.
So I think she's got a pretty good read on Raylan. I think he would.
Since he helped her cover up a $200,000 theft, I think she pretty much has him wrapped around her little finger.
Certainly. So then we get introduced to, well, actually, no, we were introduced to this guy earlier, but very, very briefly.
Because he tried to flex on Carpetbagger.
He did.
And Carpetbagger
he
was
did.
Not impressed.
Yeah, the Ice Pick. Fletcher the Ice Pick Nix is this uh-huh. guy's name. And he kills the guy with the watches in this kind of really cool scene.
And in a He's sad the, note, the Pizza Boy, too.
The Pizza Boy, too, yeah.
Who was this dude with watches? Had we ever seen him before?
I don't think so.
Or even been talked about?
No. And I think those watches are going to play significantly into the future of,
really?
Of season three, I would guess.
Why?
Because why else have them there? Why show them to Raylan? And what else do they have that leads them back to the Dixie Mafia from those hits?
How does that lead them back to Dixie Mafia? Because it looks like just a...
Well, we don't know yet.
Okay.
But I'm assuming that guy who has the watches was something, like some relation to the Dixie Mafia.
Well, of course he was.
Like
he
borrowed money
enforcer,
or something,
or
you know?
He was in a, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be the tie to those guys. Pretty cool scene. I mean, we get introduced to his countdown from 10 mm-hmm. Scheme.
The game.
Yeah, and he totally kills that guy.
That's the thing. The game is rigged.
It is rigged.
We don't know at first. We thought he was just going to do like some display of speed, but the mm-hmm. whole idea is to get the ice pick, then the gun.
Yeah, that's why they call him the ice pick.
Yep,
and that's why they don't call him the gun.
The gunslinger? See, he can't be the gunslinger.
That's right.
He's
you're
the
right.
ice picker at best.
He is. So Raylan's the gunslinger.
Yeah, the gunslinging's a whole secondary operation for this guy. His primary is definitely weapon slot one, ice pick.
Gotcha. So then Tim convinces Raylan to talk to Wynn Duffy. And Tim is his partner, I guess, in case he didn't know.
The sniper from Afghanistan and Iraq, I guess.
Yeah, the blonde-haired cop.
Yep.
Or blonde-haired marshal.
Well, or as you got white marshal and black marshal. That's what Seppenwall says, because they basically, to this point...
They don't know their names.
They don't have any characters. Like,
yeah.
The white guy is a sniper. The black girl... brother-in-law killed her sister.
Yeah.
That's the only thing
That's
we
know
about
these
people.
Yep.
And also, the black marshal, she'll steal your hat when you're not looking and put it on her head.
Did she?
Yeah, in season one.
Oh.
She grabbed Raylan's hat while she thought he was asleep and put it on.
Shame.
So those are only two things we know about these people.
Yeah. Not much.
It would be nice to develop these characters a little bit in the season.
Definitely. And I'm sure they will. But he convinces Raylan to go talk to Wynn Duffy. And Raylan said the last time that he was talking to Wynn Duffy that the next conversation they had wouldn't be a conversation. But he goes anyway.
Yeah. Right. And he can tell that he doesn't... Like, he's very uncomfortable with breaking his word to this villain.
Yeah. He's, like, looking to the side. He doesn't want to make eye contact. And then when he comes out and he starts addressing him, he's like, my partner has something to ask you.
Right.
Like, he doesn't even want to say anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, like, goes into... Like, he doesn't... I guess... You know, they call him the hillbilly whisperer, but what these people don't understand, what makes him tick, is because he knows these people and he shoots straight with them. And if he does stuff like go back on his word, then he's just going to be like any other asshole marshals that don't ever get anywhere with these people.
Definitely. My question about Wynn Duffy is whether or not he actually lives in a bus under the bridge.
And also,
because I've never seen him outside of that bus.
Is that his face, or does he wear a mask? Because the dude looks like he's wearing a Guy Fawkes mask that's got like flesh colored makeup on.
Yeah, he's a weird looking dude.
I didn't get that because he's also, I don't think you picked up on this the first time, but he is the AA or the Drug Abuse Anonymous, whatever group leader.
Yeah.
In Breaking Bad. Yep. Well, Jesse's group instructor, or whatever you call that, group leader.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look that weird masky in that.
He has a beard in that, doesn't he?
Maybe
so maybe
that's
it
what
covers
hides.
Up his weird, because he's got a weird shaped chin, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it.
Right.
Anyway, so I think he lives under the bridge in a bus.
And again, the dialogue here is fantastic, where he's at one point, he's like, wouldn't this be much easier to beat it out of me? And Raylan's like, that's still an option.
Yeah, it's not off the table. So then Duffy calls Arnett to find out what's going on. Apparently, Duffy didn't have anything to do with hiring this ice pick dude. It was all Arnett.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Duffy isn't too happy about him going around to... because this guy, the ice pick, apparently is a federal fugitive. Like, he's wanted by the enforcement, law enforcement.
Right.
So hiring him is risky. But then Boyd tells Ava to burn the weed. She visits him in prison.
She doesn't actually say that. That'd be bad if you're...
Yeah. She's he tells her to burn the wood.
The wood. Yeah. That pile of wood about our home. Yeah. I love it. Yep. I'm talking in hillbilly code. So cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of likes, yeah. I really like Ava. I really love what they've done with her character in season two and continuing season. Like her being the full blown, second hand or crime lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not crime lord, crime lady. I mm-hmm. like it.
Yeah, I didn't like her in season one because she seemed a little crazy.
I know. But we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not on board with that. You acted like her killing her husband was something an insane person would do.
It is when you could just leave. I don't get why you're staying with somebody who's
a dangerous
hitting
you. Gangster. You're going to just leave? And plus, that's her. That's like.
Well, I guess, yeah, if you're talking about gangsters.
When she was being threatened with her life, she wasn't going to leave because this is her goddamn hometown.
That's important. I wouldn't stay in my hometown if I were. Under constant threat of death.
You don't have a hometown.
If I had a hometown.
How would you... That's like saying if you had a brother, you wouldn't die for him. You don't even know because you don't have one.
I have a brother.
You have a brother. I'm making an analogy here. Stick with me.
All right.
You have no hometown. You're a man without a country.
I don't know. Indianapolis is pretty hometown.
Really?
Yeah. I was born here.
Well, I'm going to kill you if you don't get out of it tomorrow. Are you going to leave?
No, because you're joking. I don't believe you. All right. Gotta say it with more conviction.
Let's continue. I'll kill you before night's over. I promise.
Yeah, this podcast will kill me. So then the ice pick meets Raylan in the elevator and plays a little game with him there, too. He's like staring at him. And Raylan says,
getting
what are you staring
off on
at?
The fact that he has no idea. He's a yep. federal marshal, wanted criminal, and he has yep. no idea.
But he likes his hat. So Raylan's cool with that. Thanks for the compliment.
Right.
Raylan obviously knows something is up with this guy here.
Yeah.
Because he gets off on the wrong floor and says, change of plan, I'll see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, something is wrong there.
This guy's the anti-Raylan. He wears a small black hat. Raylan mm-hmm. wears a large white hat.
Yep.
Raylan's kind of cautious and measured in what he says. And, confident but not cocky. This guy's like the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like, I just thought that this is a very... And one guy's good, one guy's evil. So, mm-hmm.
yeah,
that's
definitely.
Why he's the anti-Raylan.
So then the next scene, Yvette, who is Emmett's assistant, mm-hmm. The blonde, flirts with Raylan at the bar and tells him that there's going to be a meeting going down.
And at this point, I'm thinking, my God, do all women just throw themselves at Raylan Givens as a natural instinctive reaction? I'd buy yeah. that.
Sure.
I was like, God damn. Later on, we find out that she's kind of... trying to play him, right?
Yeah, it's all set up. I mean, she goes outside to the car, and Detroit is sitting there waiting for
right.
Carpetbagger.
Right. I think it's in Timothy Oliphant's contract that if there a woman is guest starring an episode, she must throw herself at him.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That would be in my contract, too. So I can't blame him. But then Raylan's suspicious of the info that Yvette gave him, and he asked to be included in the bust, but Art won't let him. So, because, obviously, he says, you can't run, you can't shoot, what are you going to do? And Raylan's like, can I be the guy on the walkie who tells everybody what to do?
That's my job, asshole. Which I yeah. think is the line of the night.
It is. Really, really funny.
The way Art delivered that, hilarious.
And I really like their relationship when they're getting along.
I do, too.
Because they have a good banter.
It's sad when him and Art Mullen aren't getting along.
Yeah. So he doesn't let him go. And then we... go over to Ava, who's talking to Arlo, and Devil, I guess is that guy's name, the weird country dude that we talked about before. And she tells him that Boyd wants them to burn the weed, and Devil refuses. But Ava soon corrects that problem with a frying pan to the face.
Grade 3 concussion.
Yeah, she slams that dude.
I love Arlo's like, yeah, you didn't have to go and do that. She's like, yeah, I did.
Or I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah, and she's absolutely right. I mean, she didn't want to do it, but the guy made her. You know, right. She's got to put her foot down. And this is like, she has the backing of Boyd, right?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Nobody's going to be able to touch her without messing
right.
with Boyd as well.
Right.
And these guys have got to know that.
Oh, yeah.
So she's definitely the one in charge of this operation now. No questions.
For sure.
Do you have anything else about that scene or move on?
Nope.
All right. So the marshals break up the meeting with the ice pick watching from a cab. I sent a homeless guy in to to deliver the goods. And so they caught the homeless guy, and he didn't know what was up.
Right.
But I guess this was actually where they were discussing the baby's name here. I went into that way too early, but whatever. We talked about it.
I still don't have it in my notes, like, whatever.
Okay. So then the ice pick's waiting for Raylan in his apartment, motel room. What is this thing?
Yeah, I guess it's his long-term hotel room.
It seems like it. It seems like a motel. But, like, just on the side of the road, like right. You'd see in a bad horror flick.
Mm-hmm.
So then Raylan kills the dude, and we can talk a little bit about this scene. I'm sure you have something to say.
Oh, the fantastic dialogue about, you know, why I don't understand why he doesn't take the money and run, and he shows it's all in watches.
Yeah.
But that might be the sole reason, so it would, you know, give him plausible for not to, like, just screw over his boss and take off.
Oh, yeah.
But then, again, the way he exploited Ice Pick's deal, how did he know to do that? Or was he...
Didn't he know his M.O.?
Oh. Well, I know that
he... Because he knew he was the Ice Pick.
He liked using the Ice Pick, but I don't know that you would that actually... If I knew you're the Ice Pick killer, I wouldn't necessarily assume you'd play a game to, you know, pin my gun hand to the table and then kill me.
But if you think about it, okay, the guy likes to kill with an ice pick, but he's got a gun. He's setting the gun on the table. Where does the ice pick factor into this killing? He's about to kill me.
He's here.
Where does the ice pick figure in?
I think I might have just figured it out.
Okay.
I don't think Raylan gave a shit about the ice pick. Maybe it did, maybe didn't. Mm-hmm. But he's thinking, all right, I'm going to play this guy's game, and it's going to have some kind of weird angle, and I'm going to change. I'm going to be like the man in black in Princess Bride, and I'm going to change the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
By stepping on the tablecloth. So that's going to, whatever this guy's doing, he's not counting on me doing that.
Yeah, he expects everyone to reach for that gun as fast as they can.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right.
That fact.
Yeah, he's just switching up.
But, man, goddamn, Raylan is fucking cool.
So badass.
Like, I know he's an actor and is an action thing or whatever, but it's just so cool to see a dude's like, he's just like thinking it like a problem. Like, I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
I might be killed here. I'm kind of narrowing my eyes and trying to figure out your angle.
Yeah,
but
he's like intrigued. The look on his face is like, what's going on here?
And he's telling his like ex-wife, yeah, go ahead and count on down.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and do that. Yeah, super badass scene. I mean, one of the coolest things I've seen on this series.
Yeah, when there's been a damn few cool things.
There have been a lot of cool things. So that's that scene. And then we get Detroit Carpetbagger coming in to kill Arnett and Yvette.
All right, why did he do all this?
Well, he owes him money.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't show up with the watches, but that's because
he sabotaged it. So he basically came down there to kick the Dixie Mafia in the nuts and take over.
I have some spoilers I don't want to talk about
until
we get to the spoiler section. Let's maybe just shelve that little topic for people who want spoilers.
I'm putting a pin in it.
All right.
We'll leave it for there.
Cool. So then this is the scene where Dickie and Dewey see that Boyd has entered prison.
And they're like dumb fucks. And they're doing this, they're having a dumb fuck conversation
about their neck tattoos.
And out of the blue, Boyd comes strolling through, and we now know, like you said, as the door was shutting on him in prison, he had this kind of like look of satisfaction on his face.
Yeah, it's about as close as to a smile as he gets, I think.
Yeah, he is not broken up about being in prison.
No.
This is a whole, and now you know why he did this and has not. This is to get revenge, the last of the Bennett clan, because Dickie, that's it.
That really is it.
He kills Dickie, and the Bennett clan is over.
Yeah, and they've had a feud with them for a while now, haven't they?
No, the Givens and the Bennetts had the feud going.
Yeah, but when Bo was doing his thing, I think they were pretty much feuding there.
I think so Bo ran pills, and Mags did weed. I think they basically... I was having this conversation with Mad Brew, and he kind of persuaded me that they pretty much shared the county. Maybe everything operated with Mag's approval. Like, I think she was at the top of the food chain.
The kingpin of Harlan County.
And also that Bo's scam was to traffic things through the county, not necessarily in the county.
Hmm. Okay.
So, anyway, that was Mad Brew's take on it anyway.
Interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, Boyd obviously has planes in that prison. And that's the episode. Mm-hmm. What's kind of your overall feeling about this episode?
I thought it was the best way to begin season three of Justified.
Yeah. I thought so too.
You know, the problem after I saw, if I'd had a whole season to think about this, I'd really been hyperventilating, but I'm thinking Mags Bennett, one of the all-time greatest villains.
Emmy Award winning.
In TV history, and with the best exit.
Yeah.
Like, her death is, like, top five villain death of all time.
Yeah.
It's epic.
The way they set that up, too.
Yeah. They really did. They really earned. Something that happened in the first episode paid off beautifully in the end. So, there's, like, how... Like, there's a lot of people like, why, you dumb fuck, why did you kill this character off? And I read an interview saying, well, you can't really replace quality, so we're going with quantity. And... So the first thing as a viewer, I'm like, is the show still going to be cool?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they going to replace the villains? And you see them bringing in, you got Boyd's crew, you got this carpetbagger, you got Wynn Duffy and the Dixie Mafia somehow going to be involved. So they've got all these new characters coming in to fill this gap, and it kind of, the show goes on without missing a beat.
Yeah, that was going to be my comment about it, that this is a very foundational episode. They're putting all the pieces in place to build up to what could be an awesome power struggle in this season.
I feel like at this point, this is like Texas Hold'em poker.
Uh-huh.
And they've already dealt out, what is it, what's the first three cards?
The flop?
Yeah, this is the flop. We're waiting for the river and the...
The turn in the river, yeah.
This turn...
Oh, if you're going to make a poker... That's like me trying to make a gun analogy.
We're waiting for the carrot and then the donkey's coming.
Yeah, that's it.
So we have the flop, the trip, and the stumble. So we got the flop on the table. He's just flopped it out here in episode one. We're waiting for everybody.
Okay.
All right, anyway.
Cut that analogy off.
Cut.
So I'm really excited to see what comes up next.
But we agree, Dickie's done. There's no way he's getting through the season. What's his odds?
His odds are 1 in 1,000.
Over, under episodes before he dies. 3. You going over or under? So that's basically
under. Because Boyd's got to get out of prison quicker than. Unless Boyd is going to come out of prison with an armada of, like, just an army of people
on his
side, then he's got to die and get out of prison
Dickie's
soon.
You're saying Dickie's dying the next 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Because we're 3 episodes. So for you to win that bet, interesting. I would say over, but slightly. Like, I think that's going to be the mid series climax. Somehow it's going to be a simultaneous Dickie execution and Boyd breakout. It's both going to happen, kind of like Mission Impossible 3 Ghost Protocol
or Mission Impossible 4, where there's all sorts of chaos.
Oh,
just
yes,
happening.
It is Mission Impossible 4. I got my Mission Impossible.
Oh,
confused.
Yeah. Ghost Protocol is the one.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah,
I see that kind of thing happening.
That would be cool. So that's basically it for the recap. You want to do some listener feedback? We've got just a couple small pieces. I want to talk a little bit about the article that you posted on the website.
That's the only thing I was going to talk about because I've read the email, but I haven't got it prepared.
Oh, go ahead and explain that just a little bit.
Okay, so one of our listeners in Breaking Bad and Walking Dead, Ted, is a reporter for Central Kentucky, and he contacted us when he found out we were doing Justified and said, hey, I kind of grew up around this area. I know a little bit about the background. So I asked him a couple questions because I knew that Mags Bennett was based on a real-life character, and he actually gave us some of her, the real-life Mag Bailey, who she's kind of sort of based on, and she took a picture of her, like, where she sold her bootleg liquor.
Yeah, the shack, the store.
Filled us in about some of the background of Harlan County, referenced a video that you can watch. It might even be on Netflix. So it just a lot of information. I put it up on an article called How Real is Justified's Harlan County. And he also is offering to answer more questions for us. So if the listeners and already someone's taken us up on that.
Yeah, that's the second piece of listener feedback that I have. It's actually from Forrest D. He's got a question for Ted C, and I'm sure Ted's listening.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ted, this is coming at you. How accurate is the dialogue in the show, and does it reflect the cadence of people in Harlan? So basically, do they talk like that, and how are the accents and things like that?
Right.
I'm interested to know, too, because we're not that far from Kentucky, but it seems like Indiana doesn't...
patois.
Yeah, Indiana doesn't have the drawl that a lot of Kentucky does. So
right, and especially because this is getting into Appalachian and you know, the mountain.
Yeah,
folk.
Yeah. Southern.
So you've got that. It's not just Southern. It's it's, you know, coal mine in Southern.
Yeah. So I don't know, Ted, if you have any info on how accurate that is, please send it to us and we'll read it on the next
show.
And
that's super solid of you for offering to do that for us, Ted.
Yeah. Thanks so much. That was really cool. So that's basically all I have for the show. Do we want to do an outro and then some spoilers?
Yeah. If you want to send us some feedback, you can do so by emailing us at justified@baldmove.com. You can, reach us out on Facebook, facebook.com/baldmove. Tweet at Jim at @baldmove. If you'd like to support us again, and you know, since this is a brand new podcast, we're starting from ground zero with as far as reviews and whatnot, please, please, please help us with some positive reviews on iTunes and subscriptions, because that, again, is going to help us build an audience faster. We'll get more feedback and it'll be a more interesting show.
And I'm going to set a modest goal this time.
Oh.
20. 20? 20 is not too many.
20?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, what... I don't know how the audience, like how big of an audience this show will have.
I have no idea either. It's so exciting. It's
20. Scary. 20 seems modest.
So also, if you'd like to help directly contribute to the Bald Move Empire, you can use our Amazon affiliate link at amazon.baldmove.com. And the way that works is you buy the stuff you're going to buy on Amazon anyway, enjoy all the same great prices, all the same great shipping. And they add like $100 to the order and put it right in our pocket. And it's freaking awesome.
I love it.
Is that how it works?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, actually, it doesn't cost you anything. And it just, Amazon just gives us a little bit of free money, a little couple pennies per order. And it actually, we try to cover the cost of our bandwidth, because it's surprisingly expensive to host. Are we at the terabytes?
We push a surprising amount of data each month.
Yeah.
I had no idea when we started this.
Yeah, it's not, because we're like, yeah, it'd be cool if 500 people listen to this.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit higher than that. But it's very cool, and we like to keep doing it. And that's, you know, we don't put ads on the site, and we don't ask for donations. But if you buy stuff on Amazon, use our affiliate link.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And thanks to all the people who have done that in the past.
Certainly.
That's it for the show. Next week, we'll be covering episode 2 entitled Cut Ties. And until then, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. I'll see you in a spoiler section.
On this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, full of some. I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at your boy. You try to vote, God, fall back, I go hard. On this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, full of some.
And we're back with the spoilers. Do you have any spoilers this week? Because I have a few.
Well, do you
want to
play
Wikipedia?
I thought we were going to play the next season on, or this
season. Oh yeah, we have those now.
So we got the audio. It's not very long. It's a minute long, and we're going to break this down for you.
This season on Justified.
What I have planned for Harlan,
you've only just begun to imagine, and there's only one thing standing in the way of making that happen.
There's a striking resemblance to the creature from Alien.
I'm so glad you're having fun with all this.
They said all the carpet had been pulled out of Arnett's office and the concrete underneath been bleached.
That's never good.
We're going to reclaim something that rightfully belongs to the Crowder family.
You know, I was figuring maybe you need a little help.
Damn hand.
At least you put a smile on my face.
It's good to see you.
The focus of the Oxy business has been the Florida pill mills. We are going to Harlem, where we charge 10 times the price.
That is why it's called organized crime.
Remember that conversation we weren't going to have? This is it.
Show me your hands!
To the future.
Justified. Tuesdays at 10.
Oh,
that looks
yeah.
pretty tasty.
Bad, especially that last shot.
Oh,
with Boyd and Raylan shooting guns side by side.
Hell yeah. Do you think that almost looks like a promo shot? And
yeah.
One thing I've learned from doing podcasting is the promos lie.
And I wonder how soon that happens, because this video is called The Season on Justified, not
right.
Next time.
Oh, yeah.
So it could be any time.
But what we see is coming is this carpetbagger is definitely trying to take over the Dixie Mafia's territory and personnel, and he's got big plans to be running drugs through Harlan County.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the subplot.
Was kind of the thing I wanted to touch on with, like, the pills and what Bo might have been doing there, because Mags essentially wouldn't let pills into Harlan County, right? Like,
right.
That was her thing. She wouldn't sell any of that. She didn't want it in Harlan.
Right.
So this guy is moving in, and he talks about how they're doing it in Florida. Like, they had Miami Pill Mill or whatever he calls it, and he wants to bring that to Harlan. So that's his game, is move OxyContin.
Did he say Miami?
I think so.
So, wow.
Florida, anyway.
We're going to be bringing perhaps that element back into the show.
Yeah, yeah. But he's definitely going to try to set up an OxyContin sort of distribution in Harlan County.
Right. So do you know who this guy, I know who he's supposed to be. He's the leader of an all black holler.
Yeah.
I didn't get my redneck right.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got some spoilers on him too, because,
and you know who this dude is, right? He's Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Is it actually Bubba? I've heard he's also
confirmed it on Wikipedia, and he also, played, a detective in Boomtown again. So it's like, obviously this Graham Yost is very loyal to actors that have done a good job for him.
Yeah. That's cool. I've got some spoilers from IMDb, let's go back to this video. I want to talk about the baby for a second.
All right.
Where do you think the baby's going to factor into this? Because we've certainly seen people trying to use his family as leverage before.
Well, here's the thing, and I was talking to Mad Brew about this. What is the one thing that could get Boyd and Raylan on the same side? If someone threatened their women?
Yeah.
This is just pie in the sky. I'm not making this an official prediction.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be kind of cool if someone either hurt or killed both of their women, and like it set up season four for an epic extra legal revenge rampage? Like,
well,
Raylan,
you just
want to
see Winona gone, don't you?
I don't know if I don't like her or not.
Yeah, that's true.
She's actually a complex, well-rounded female character.
Imagine
you get off AMC and shit like that happens. And so is Ava.
Yeah, yeah.
But I actually wouldn't mind seeing Raylan turn in his badge and him and Boyd go on the gray side of the law and do some righteous justice dispensing.
You don't want to see him turn in his badge and become a shooting instructor?
Or maybe Raylan pulls that bullshit like in season one where he'll deputize Boyd.
Yeah, yeah, to keep him by his side.
Right?
Yeah.
But that would be kind of interesting. What do you think of that idea?
Man, anything that gets them together shooting guns back to back is good by me.
Right?
Seriously, bring that on.
But going back to Bubba Gump here.
Yeah.
So he's meeting Boyd on this bridge, and at this point in the series, it doesn't look like Boyd's gotten his face all fucked up yet. So and he comes in. I know he's got to come in the first four episodes because Sepinwall's seen him, and he's seen the first four episodes. So
yeah.
Shit, does that mean Boyd's out of prison in four episodes?
That's why I made the under prediction.
Damn it,
because
I didn't think ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm unless he's like got such an in deal with the prison, he just comes and goes as he pleases.
You think he's got it in with the guard who lets him out the back door of the prison?
It's like Hogan's Heroes. They're just getting in and out of that all the time.
I don't know. I think he's gonna get out early. That's my opinion. And I don't know who this new girl is.
Well, okay, so Sepinwall says this is, of course, Carla, how do you pronounce her name? Gugino? It's G-U-G-I-N-O. And I'm horrible pronouncing people's names.
I don't know how you say that.
She's playing a character, Karen Goodall, who I guess is an all but name only copy of Karen Sisko, which is another Leonard Elmore character who had her own TV show called Karen Sisko.
I've never heard of that.
So they're taking that character, but since they don't have the rights to the name, they're actually taking that exact same character and bring her in. And she's supposed to be an interesting character. I don't know much about the character.
I know nothing about it,
but she's supposed to be pretty awesome. And
she's flipping stuff around.
So you've seen her. She's been in Sin City. She's the mom.
Yeah, I've seen that
Spy
actress.
Kids. She's been in a lot of different things.
Yeah.
In Watchmen, of course. So I'm excited to see her. I mean, I'm excited to see all these new characters, actually.
There's nothing about the new season that doesn't excite me so far.
Even the characters I hated, like Coover, was a fucking cool character.
Yeah, I really, really wanted him to die quickly, but he made me feel something, you know?
Yeah, right?
it wasn't annoyed
hatred.
Yeah.
It's more like this guy's just, he's stupid, but...
His motivations.
And he was stupid in a consistent, like, believable character way.
Yes.
Not just like the writers need him to hold the idiot ball this week.
Yeah.
He was just an idiot.
For sure. He was.
He's just dumb as hell.
Yep. I think Raylan said that at some point, right? Didn't he? Anything else from this video?
Going on, like I said, we see Art wailing the hell out of... That's Duffy, man.
That's
Duffy.
Yeah.
He's slugging the hell out of a bound Duffy. Looks like Raylan's getting his ass ran over. Wait a second.
Is that Duffy? It looks like a young Duffy.
That's not him.
So it's somebody we haven't seen yet.
I was going to say his face wasn't mask-like enough.
I wonder if it's his kid.
And then we got Raylan having the conversation with Wynn Duffy where he's actually beating the shit out of him. And then here, Boyd is like... Looks like he's like in round 10 of a Rocky fight.
Yeah, which these guys are half the time in each season anyway.
Right.
Raylan's beat up most of the time.
Yep. So, and then the last scene is Boyd shotgunning and Raylan.
Yeah.
40 caliber and
looks pretty freaking awesome.
Yep.
Some spoilers from IMDb. You can go look these up. Next episode, as I said, is called Cut Ties. And the description of it is... The murder of a fellow marshal throws Raylan together with a woman from his past, which I'm pretty sure is what's-her-face, Gugano.
Karen Goodall.
And then Boyd engineers a shutdown with Dickie Bennett. A showdown with Dickie Bennett. So, episode 2. Yeah, I've got some inside info here.
You had that in your back pocket. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Then episode 3 is called Harlan Roulette. And it says, Raylan's face-off with a tyrannical oxy dealer... puts him on a collision course with the new head of the Dixie Mafia. Boyd fights to take back part of his family's empire, but his methods threaten to tear his crew apart.
All right.
So Boyd obviously is out of prison in episode 3.
What is Wynn Duffy's role? Because I can't tell if he's like a... Darth Vader to this dude's emperor? Or is he just an enforcer? Or is he...
The bus under the bridge throws me. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's really kind of weird.
In my opinion, now, after that guy says, do you know me now?
Uh-huh.
I think he's the new Arnett. He's the new Dixie Mafia guy in Harlan.
Okay.
He was essentially made in charge when he killed the other guy.
All right.
That's what I'm thinking.
What else we got?
Then episode 4 is titled The Devil You Know. And episode 5 is Thick as Mud.
Do they have any description for The Devil You Know?
No, neither of those.
That's got to be something with involving Boyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything with religious overtones.
Back-to-back gunfighting with Boyd.
I kind of want to go back through all the titles because that's one thing when we're watching episodes back-to-back. I wasn't paying any attention to the episode titles.
So yeah.
I don't know if the titles actually are significant for you know, the way they are in like Breaking Bad, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be kind of cool that they were.
But that's all I've got for spoilers. Unless you have anything else, I think that's the end of the show.
I do not. Let's wrap this up.
Let's do it. That's it. Thanks for joining us, and join us next week for episode 2, Cut Ties.